Hello. Good morning.
Guten Morgen. Yes. German, that is. For our... We've had one German listener so far.
Oh, have we?
Yeah. We've That's had French. Two people from French.
From French.
Yeah. And we've had no one yet from South America.
No.
We've had no one in Australia.
Ah.
No. So, I don't know how we're going to reach those people.
No.
So, dear listener, if you know someone in those areas, say, listen to these two.
Are we trying to take over the world?
Take over the world today. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Stimpy and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So you were going to tell me.
I've got a story.
A little story.
We did this whole hello to each other as Amber turned up, and then we both kept starting conversations and going, actually, we'll save it for the podcast.
Because otherwise we've got nothing to say, right?
Yeah. Otherwise we're like, yeah, I've heard this about 10 minutes ago. So, had my first little car incident.
Right, yes.
Driving home from Leon Solent, where I used to live, where I work now, and my kids, I was bringing them home from their dad's, back to Bognor Regis. So it's a 40-minute drive through a city called Chichester.
Yeah.
And Chichester's right next to Bognor. So A27, you know it.
I know very well now, yes. Yeah.
Wittering's roundabout.
Yeah.
In the fast lane.
Of course. There is only one lane.
Approaching a roundabout.
Yeah.
Put my foot down on the clutch. Foot carries on going.
Oh.
Clutch doesn't come back up again.
Oh.
I know I haven't got control of the car.
Yeah.
Put my hazards on straight away, really slowly, calmly. Stopped the... Slowly broke. Stopped the car, turned it all off. Pulled the clutch up with my foot and tried again, thinking maybe I could fix it.
So for dear listener that doesn't realise, that is a 70-mile-an-hour road.
Yeah.
Dual carriageway.
Yeah.
And
that is the moment it splits into three lanes so that people can go left as well. So,
okay, so that is the very busy bit.
Really busy bit.
Yeah.
And it's Saturday early evening.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sun's just coming down, low in the sky. Yeah.
Already just had someone cut in front of me like an idiot.
Perfect.
Literally moments before. I was still explaining to the kids what words I was using and why I used them, and apologising to the children for using them. And then, so that happened. So then I'm stuck in the central reservation. I hadn't pulled aside at all. I was just in the middle of the lane. Got RAC app out, and they're like, you have to ring the police because you're in a live lane. So I ring the police, but I hadn't rang the police yet. Suddenly two people turn up at my window, knocking on the window, asking if I'm okay. And then they pushed me because there's a tiny bit of pavement on the central reservation. So they pushed me onto that.
Okay.
So I did leave my handbrake on at first. They're like, have you got your handbrake on? It's like, it would help if I didn't, wouldn't it? So they pushed me there, and then the doors were too close to central reservation, so I kind of climbed my way out, and the back seats were right, so they got the boys out.
Yeah.
I had to pull Jessica, my girl, through the window, my driver's window, because there's no way I was emptying them out into the actual live lane. So we managed to get the kids out. I'm ringing the police at the same time, but it kept going through my car thing, and I wasn't noticing, because I was starting to panic at this point.
Yeah, of course.
And I hung up on them, then I rang them back, then I realised what I was doing wrong. I couldn't hear a word this woman was saying, so I was just yelling information at her.
Yeah.
And then we got to the guy who was helping, stopped the traffic by just waving at people, just hoping for the best. We all ran across. And then the police turned up really quick. I also called my dad and was like, you're going to have to come and get the kids at least. So the police were really quick, and it was like a dance. At this point, I'm not even sure how I was feeling. And it was so good this couple were here, because the guy was getting all my car seats out in case someone had to give me a lift. And any stuff that he thought the kids would find useful, like coats and stuff.
iPads.
So he was doing that. iPads and coats. So he was on that. The woman was holding my toddler, and I was just stood there like, okay, that just happened. And then it was like a dance. So the police stopped all the traffic. So there was a point where there was no one moving. And then they slowly were coming towards us. And I said to the kids, this is all for us. And then all the cars part way. And another police car came down the middle. And there were two police cars around my car. And then the police were going through my boot. For ages, I couldn't figure out what they were doing in my boot.
Looking for drugs.
Yeah, that's why I was like, because I did have a bag of coffee beans.
That's it.
But I had a box of cakes that they totally destroyed. But never mind. They were looking for a tow rope.
Okay.
But it didn't click until way after the event. Yeah, yeah. I was still like, why the hell were the police going through my boots so thoroughly? Like
looking for donuts and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
They could have had the cream cakes they squished.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then they come over to me and they realise that there's nowhere where pavement is where I was stood.
Sure.
So they're like, you're going to have to get in the police cars.
Oh.
We all climb in. And blue lights on. Me and the three kids, two of the kids didn't even have seatbelts on. One of them was sat on the police's man's coat and he was like, don't worry, just sit on it, it's fine. And then they're both going, we haven't got belts on. I was like, it's okay, we can't really get caught. Policeman just said it's all right.
Yeah.
Jess accidentally stood on his hat that was in her footwell.
Oh no.
And there's a big muddy footprint on the top of his hat, which I thought was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
And then they towed my car around and then my mum and dad turned up. And my dad, after the police went, my mum stayed with the car. My dad drove me and the kids back because my dad realised he could, because he used to be a mechanic.
Right.
He knew how to get it moving without the clutch.
Okay.
So he drove us home. My mum sat in the car and then my dad and my brother-in-law went back for my car. My mum jumped straight out and into my brother-in-law's car and he's like, did you not want a lift with Martin? And she's like, no thanks. So my dad drove it in second gear all the way. Chichester to Bognor with my brother-in-law behind just in case he broke
down.
Yeah,
just in case.
Apparently there was a bang that happened at one point.
Oh dear.
But it didn't have to get towed or rescued.
Yeah, which saves you money.
Which saved me money because it's going to be probably... But my dad said that he could get it moving, he couldn't get it up any gears. Sometimes he can when he does that because he used to have to do that. But yeah, he could reverse it somehow still because he's reversed it into a space, but he couldn't stop. So he just had to, at every roundabout, hope that there was no one coming and just go.
Yeah.
And then hope that no traffic lights went. He just had to go. And then this woman was walking on the caravan park really slowly, and she does it quite often.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, like, we usually go, and he couldn't slow down. So she's like, please move.
Please move.
But, my brother-in-law was watching, thinking he's going to have to knock her over because they were yelling at her as well.
She's like, no, I'm not moving. Yeah. I got right away.
That was it. Yeah. So there you go. That's my car drama. That's how my kids ended up in four different cars to get home from their dads, and how my kids have had their first experience of being in the back of a police car.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't think I could have made that moment more dramatic.
No, that, as Drama Llama goes, that is a good one. I like it. When I pulled up, my quizzical look, which obviously you couldn't see because it was under a cash helmet, was like, wait, is she in? I forgot the wrong day. I'm sure I messaged her to say, and you were like, yeah, definitely doing it. So it's like, well, have I got the wrong day? Is it Sunday? Should I be at church? No, that was yesterday. You know, all these things flashing through my head.
Did
I dream it? Yeah.
Because no car.
Yeah. Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, so it's a fun story. It took me a little while to get over, though. I was quite peaceful, but I can tell I'm unsettled because I can't sleep. And I keep having weird dreams. And I don't know, I just can't stop. But I'm finding it really funny that it happened.
At no point
have I been freaked out, but I'm worried that I'm going to jump in the car and be scared of using the clutch.
Sure.
Obviously, I can't at the moment.
Obviously, the clutch is gone in some description.
Yeah.
So does your dad, who is a mechanic, say that it's an easy job? Or?
I don't know, but he's away at the moment, but he's on the job of ringing the garage today to find out. It's about getting me in as well.
Yeah.
But it's going to be expensive.
Yes.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I think what I read, I looked it up, I googled it. It's a 5 to 6 hour job if they've got the parts.
Ooh. That's Yeah, that's not the cheapest of...
Nope.
No. Yeah. And I gave myself the challenge of shoehorning in my topic for today.
Yes. Now yes. Shoehorn that one.
Yeah, that one's going to be difficult, actually.
Is that the kind of thing you thought when I showed you the car of the policeman?
Not at all. No.
I just showed... not a car. I showed Amber, before I told the story, just a picture of... a police car and a policeman's coat on the bonnet of my car while they're both stood at my car.
Yeah.
Just as a, this is what my story's going to involve.
Oh, what's she done? I thought. No, I didn't do anything wrong. So that's what they all say.
Apart from poor clutch control.
That's it. Well, if the clutch goes, yeah. Yeah, it's... it's a good one, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So, my topic.
Yes.
Yes. Let's dive straight into that one.
Do it.
Let's do it. Let's rip that band-aid off.
see the smooth transition.
I know, right? So, and I only picked it this morning because I've been sat there thinking, what shall I do? I want a nice juicy one.
Mm.
And then I was listening to something and I thought, oh, I might do that. And then there's something else. So we'll pan into my little village because I like to do that.
Yeah. Are they all still there?
Yeah, they're all still there. Yeah. And then the preachery person's there, the head preacher, and he's saying, well, come the rapture, blah, 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 you know, spouting off that we've all got to behave ourselves and that sort of stuff. Because come the rapture and all that jazz. And I'm guessing dear listener knows about the rapture. I mean, what's your thoughts on the rapture?
I don't really know, because it's always sounded nonsense to me.
Okay. But there's that film, there's that series of films in it where, you know, they all go up and that's sort of, and I'd love to do the helium balloon thing where you sort of, you know, dress people up and then just let them, you know, you're really deep theological friend and you just let the balloons go and it's like, oh, missed you.
You won't.
That's it.
I do have mornings, though. Do you know, like you did this morning when you turn up somewhere and everything's a little bit different?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as or there's people that aren't. And I'm like, it just runs through my head. Was it true and has it happened?
Yeah,
because I feel like I'm just... No one's where they should be.
That's it, 100%, yeah. But there's that passage in Matthew where they're saying about there'll be... the two men and one of them will be taken, and then there'll be the women there doing the wheat thing and one of them will be taken, that sort of stuff. And you know, so everyone's like, well, yeah, the rapture's going to come and the trumpet's going to blow and blah, 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 and Jesus comes along and boom, they're taken. And
la, but do la, la. We believe that these people that wrote, the people that wrote the Bible that had these visions, were talking as if they knew exactly what they were talking about? Or do we think that maybe they were describing a thought in the only words that they knew how?
Well, this is why I've picked the rapture as my topic. Because you've got that bit, and that's what everyone sort of says, that you know, well, that's the proof.
It's there.
There it is. Written black and white.
Black and white in the word of the Lord.
Yeah, you know, the trumpets will sound and Jesus will come from the cloud and the dead will be taken up. And la la la, and that's in Theologians, that one is.
Yeah.
There we go. Is it Theologians? That is a book, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. One Theologians it's in. Yeah.
You're sounding less and less convincing.
I was like,
oh, I think God, when he said, is that a book? Yeah. He sounded a little less convincing.
Or is that just scholars, you know? Well, excuse me. So I was doing a little bit of thingy, and it's not biblical. It's not biblical, the rapture thing. So no,
most things that like that aren't the ones. The things that really don't make sense usually aren't biblical.
Sure. So it's come about around about. I mean, I always used to take it as gospel and all that sort of stuff, but you know, I think that's why looking into things with an open mind is important. So in the 1800s there was this Scottish lady had a dream and she felt that God had told her that they would be taken up and all that sort of stuff. So that was the early 1800s, and then the pilgrims from, you know, early America sort of thing, they kind of ran with it. So basically it was very localized to that village, that it was a message from God and you know, all that sort of stuff. And then it started to sort of grab hold, and people are like, oh, maybe there's something in it, and look, it's there in theologians, it's there in Matthew and that sort of stuff. And then there were it's kind of taken traction from there,
right?
So now there are people that say, no, the rapture is definitely a thing, you know, make your own mind up sort of thing. But then I come across this guy when I was doing a little bit of research, because you know me, I wake up at stupid o'clock in the morning. And he did a preach about it and got a lot of backlash from it, sort of saying, no, it's biblical, look, it's in this passage here, like, which is why I brought up the one in Matthew. I think it's Matthew 24, something like that. Do your own Bible reading.
Google it yourself.
Yeah, Google your own. You know. Yeah, so he was he got a backlash from his sermon that he did, and then he did a follow up video where he said, look, this is why. If you look at the time when they were saying about the trumpets blowing and that sort of stuff, the people of the time were used to their kings going out. You know, leading the battle, you know. And then when they came back triumphant, the people in the town would blow the trumpets. And go out to greet their king and usher them back in.
Right.
So maybe that's the part.
So does the passage say one goes and one stays? Or something like that? So maybe they were talking about the division of people that believed that he was king and people that didn't.
I'll come on to that bit.
Okay.
So that's the kind of scenario. So to those people, that culture, it would mean that to them.
Yeah.
Because that's a known thing. You know, the king would leave their city or their place. They'd come back triumphant. The trumpets would be blown by the city, not by the people marching back. They'd all go out to meet him and go, hey, we all won.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Thanks, king.
Winners, chicken dinners. Yeah.
That's it. Well,
and vegan chicken.
Fish and bread.
Yay.
So, Jesus is our king, blah, blah, blah.
Some of it, sort of stuff. And some, there are some that would believe and some that wouldn't.
And that as well.
And some that would understand that what he did was a triumphant part of warfare.
Yeah.
And some that won't.
Yeah. So he's come back from the battle, which is already won.
Yeah.
If we, you know, believe what the Bible says.
And Easter.
So
and
when
all
he
that.
Yeah. So when he returns. Yeah. Yeah. When he returns, you know, when the Easter Bunny comes along, gives us their eggs, and then Jesus comes at some unforetold time. you know.
Easter Bunny's like, what the hell?
That's it. It's like, ooh. Yeah, that was a surprise. Didn't expect that one. Yeah. It's like, yeah, move over, mate. Yeah. So Jesus comes back. Mm-hmm. So it's the Christians themselves that are blowing the trumpets and the fanfare and going out to meet the king and usher him back.
Yeah.
So
in your view of what you've read...
Well, his argument was that that's the case. And then he was also going on to saying about the one theologian's passage where he was... where it was either one theologian's or Matthew where Jesus was asked about it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm not going to know when. However, it will be like the time of Noah. So you'll be... You know, eating, feasting, marrying, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Getting on with your lives, living your best life. And then there was a flood. And who were taken in that case? The ones that weren't Noah's family.
Yeah.
So he was then saying in Matthew, the ones that there's going to be people that are taken. On the day of judgment, when he comes back, there will be people that are taken.
Right.
So maybe the ones that are left behind... are the ones that are left behind with Jesus, who has returned.
Yeah.
So it kind of turns it on its head.
Yeah. I still don't... I know that the Bible says that. But I still don't fully, like, think that Judgment Day is going to be what we've been preached to about.
No, I don't.
I don't think it's going to be quite as much of a you... Just, I think there's going to be so much space for redemption.
Yeah, I do as well. It's like the whole Easter and, you know, Jesus died. And then 3 days later, he's risen. And there's pointers in the book where he went into that space, you know, because hell isn't described, I don't think, as a lot of people picture it.
Yeah.
That kind of Renaissance-y, you know, fire and brimstone-y sort of artistic representation. I don't think hell is that.
No.
I don't think it is this place of eternal punishment either.
No.
And I haven't seen anything in the Bible that says that either, so that's why I'm fairly confident.
I think it's the pits of darkness.
Yeah. But a pit of darkness to me is like isolation and loneliness and, exactly. and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the revelation where on the very end, when you know you've got the new beginning happening, when heaven is made, when earth is made new, which kind of ties in with what I'm saying, where Jesus comes back and there are people taken.
Yeah.
That kind of judgment of, well, you know, you've not accepted me, so you don't get the eternal life bit. So they go to the place of darkness, and then that is cast into the, you know, fiery pit, as it's described.
Yeah.
But then that's pictorial language.
It is.
So, you know, the fiery pit could just be the destruction of that, the ending of that. To me, it didn't sit right, as in hell.
None of it, really. Like, even as you're talking now, I used to hate these conversations for the fact that it would just... It's almost like would bamboozle my head too much into thinking, I'm imagining all of these things, none of them are going to be right, because no one actually really knows.
No one knows, no.
And so I end up feeling like I prefer to think of death as being the end.
Yeah, which I think that it is... Yeah. You know, if something's destroyed, and if we look at physics and that sort of stuff, no matter is completely destroyed, but maybe it's the end of our... If we choose not to believe and have that, then, you know, I think God will honour that.
Yeah.
However, if you're face to face with...
The Creator.
With the Creator, and go, hello... Guess what, guys?
It was true.
It's true. And then you go, oh, shit, sorry. Then maybe, I don't know. And
it's so hard because I can't imagine any of the scenarios. Like, none of them sit with me. It's like I've not yet heard what my spirit believes.
No, I don't.
So I think that's why in these conversations I mildly switch off. Not in this one, but generally when I've heard these conversations, I've ended up switching off because I just, everything that's being said goes, that doesn't, my spirit is saying no to everything you're saying. Yeah. Not you, but in the conversations.
Yeah. I think I don't want to believe the fact that, and this is 100% me.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe that a loving God would give people that choice to kind of reject him and therefore have nothing.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, that's the case. You know, it's thankfully it's not my decision. I don't have to make that judgment.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have come to the conclusion by looking at various things, not just the Bible, that Jesus was who he said he was, and
same.
And then on the basis of that, I can then trust the fact that...
Yeah, that's it.
I don't have to have that...
That's it.
Final judgment.
Well, let's just twist it a little bit more and just think that this isn't just about the end of life and the end of the world, but we think about the end of seasons and the end of times in our life, because actually a lot of the end of time stuff was talking about, from what I've read in some theologians... sort of studies, is that a lot of the end of time stuff was describing that time
and various churches and things.
It was describing a certain time in history, not the actual end of the world. So say in my life there have been moments where I've hit hell, like the depths of hell,
yeah,
and I felt myself being rescued from it, And that has literally happened for me quite a few times where I feel like life couldn't get any worse right now. Yeah. And then I feel myself being dragged out of it, whether it's through the community of other people. Mm-hmm. Even in that story of me in the car, like I could have gone into a panic and thought, well, someone's going to crash in the back of me and this is hell. Like, that isn't my actual depth of hell, but if I'm using that as a picture. Then angels, like helpers, so two people turn up and just help me, and then the police help me. And I guess what I'm trying to get to is, like, I think the stories of redemption and the stories of being saved and rescued is just the moments when we surrender into thinking, I don't have to do this on my own.
Yeah.
I can rely on the things that God has given me and shown to me. And I'm just wondering if part of imagining what Judgment Day could be like is like a constant Judgment Day on the times when I've rejected God and his word. It's been harder to be rescued in those moments because I've just rejected it. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense, but I think that's going into the narrative of this whole rapture thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to play with it a little bit and trying to relate it to...
But that's why I wanted to bring it up, because that whole rapture narrative is that Jesus comes along, he takes the already dead Christians, because they've already made their choice.
Done their thing.
And then the rest of us that are on the earth are judged.
Yeah.
And then those that are judged worthy are taken up into the clouds, and the rest of us are left on the earth to kind of... And then there's going to be a period of time when la 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 and all that sort of stuff, and the mark of the beast and all that.
Yeah.
All that nasty, and then it's going to be really hard, and veganism's going to come up, and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've heard all those arguments. You know, all those sort of pointers for when the end of times is coming, even though it's very clearly said, you're not going to know.
Yeah. And also it said that you know from knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
You'd not from particularly behaving a certain way or following some certain rules, but just through relationship is how you get to the Father through me.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. And I think Jesus summarized it really well. You love God with all your heart, and you love each other as God loves you.
Yeah,
that underpins
which
the law.
Which we fall short of.
Which, of course, we all fall short of. Which is why Jesus happened.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, <Exactly. laughs> so we accept the fact he's done that, and he's gone, you messed up, guys. However, there's your get out of jail. So yeah, we're all perverting grace if people want to sort of say that.
Yeah.
Do we do our best not to? Of course.
Mm.
But also, why can't heaven be on earth right now?
If it is, exactly that.
But if you look at the rapture,
it isn't.
It's going to be taken away as soon as Jesus comes back.
It doesn't sit in my soul at all that is a thing.
Exactly.
Because
that.
I just think it's describing something else. I think he's...
And also, isn't it another flood? If Jesus comes back and then takes half of us, that's another flood. Because he's then leaving the rest to die. That's already a promise. The rainbow's in the sky telling us that.
I'm never
going to
do this again, yeah.
Yeah, so... I know, right? But there's people that really believe it.
I know there are people that really believe it. And that's why I want to play with it by thinking, actually, a lot of this stuff is a lot simpler than what we make it. And we dramatise, we put the big dramas on all of the words, because we've got people who were... what, 2 millenniums away trying to describe something that they've heard in the language that they know best, which is all mixed in with Greek mythology and all the legends of the time. So we would probably, if we retold the story, we'd be using analogies from social media, where they're using analogies from Greek mythology.
Or the Marvel DC universe.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We would be using all of that, and they're using what they know.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of these people were from... like non-Jewish backgrounds as well, so they're using the language that they've grown up with, the legends that they've grown up with, and trying to describe this warfare. So
the king returning, the trumpet sounding, the masses
fire,
rushing out,
the mark of the beast, all of that. It's all it's all very emotive and very, very shocking, very well put to get people to believe something that they are trying to help people believe.
It's that whole emotive language that, like Jesus did, where you've got that pictorial language, storytelling language that stirs up those emotive emotions so that it hits home. And like you say, it's from non-Jewish culture, so they're describing things that that does resonate with them. You know, like I said earlier, where the king's returning, they've blown their trumpets to announce the return, the triumph, and all that sort of stuff. You know, oh look, our king's coming back, he's on the hill, let's go out to meet him and welcome him back and have
what's
a feast.
That
and
coming over the hill,
is it a monster? Oh no, it's
no, it's Jesus.
Jesus.
Sorry. I messed with your flow then.
That's it. And I think that's where, for me, the rapture, because I've had it, you know, all my Christian life, which is way less than yours, obviously, because I didn't grow up in it.
You were brought into it by people that believe this so much.
The person that did introduce me to it. The last
conversation I had with that person, I said to them that that Christianity is about relationship, not right and wrong. 100%. And that was literally them, that if they would have said it, their face said it, and then they I didn't hear from them after that. They literally were like, never am I going to believe that.
Which makes me feel sad for them, because the relationship I have with God, with Jesus, that sort of stuff, adds to my life so much. I don't live in fear of doing wrong or anything like that. It's like having a brother that I know really cares for me, that has my back, that I can go to with anything and have a conversation with. And he might turn around and go, nah, come on, you know better than that. Or, well, have you looked at it this way? Or and I think that's the beauty of Christianity and having relationship. Whereas if you've got a brother that's like, no, that's wrong, look, it says in here, this is Dad's rules. That's really cold. So I know which brother I'd rather go to. You know, would I go to the rules lawyer one and say, no, look, here we go. You've done wrong, so get to your room. You know, you're not having any tea. Or, because that's obviously, you know, what the punishment is, right?
No tea.
No tea for you.
And in fact, forget the no tea. You'll be in hell for the rest of your life.
You don't have any phone. You're not having any internet. No music for you. Not even dry bread. Oh, I like me dry bread. No, no dry bread. In you go. And we turn the aircon right up. It's a bit warm.
Get used to it.
That's it. Here you go. Here's a pitchfork. Get away from the door. Oh, ow. Well, maybe that's how. Anyway, tangent.
Your tangent. I almost saw where you were going to go, and I was like, no.
I'm going to leave you to it. So I think for me, the rapture's never sat right, because one, like that person that I was listening to, it is another flood. Although it's an opposite flood, because you're being swished into the air. But when he said about the fact that half will be taken, or however many will be taken, it made sense that, they're going to be taken away from, because the new earth is going to be here. So the ones that are taken, it's not that we're being left behind. It's that we're you know, we're left with the new earth. So and it kind of takes it on its head.
It does.
Turns it on its head.
The question is, if out of two people, one goes and one stays. It's two of us.
Well, hopefully both of us. I mean, it's again.
That's not what the Bible says.
But that again is literal, isn't it? So,
well, that's literal for a minute. I reckon it's me.
Okay. I will humbly agree. And then who's then living
who's
by spirit goody? More?
Yeah.
Who's living by works better then? If I'm humbly agreeing with you. Like, no, no. Take Anna.
I'll take one for the team.
That's it.
I'm more like Jesus, by the way.
What? So you'll be taken. But then we've literally just described that I'm being left behind for the new earth, and you're being taken.
I'm being sacrificial.
Okay. Well, if you want to, you know.
I'm just going to play with that one.
Okay, well, you know, if you want to give yourself as a sacrifice and yeah. effectively commit suicide, which I think some doctrines have said is a sin. And I'll be sad to see you go. I'd rather you stay.
It has to be one of us, though. We're never going to stay together.
Well, allegedly. So... But then there's a real tangent I could go off on.
Okay, go on.
Here we go. This one's good for the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So time being relative and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, time doesn't exist. Carry on.
Well, it's a measurement. So, yeah, in reality, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Because it is relative to the speed of light in which you're travelling.
Yeah.
Going deep now. So you've got a capsule that comes along.
Yeah.
Hits Earth, bit like a comet. Wipes out all the dinosaurs, and in it is a guy called Adam and a guy called Eve, who then repopulate the Earth. And then their spaceship, which they've ejected from, is on autopilot and has got its self-repair sort of thing coming along. So it loops around the sun, comes back. Things have gone a bit wrong.
Of course.
So, you know, the gravity well from the spaceship has made a flood happen.
Yeah.
And then this bod comes down.
Yeah.
Called Jesus and says, "I'll come back, but we've just got to go back and get some supplies or whatever. Don't forget me. You know, I'm the truth and the way." Mm-hmm. Off they go to the nearest star and come back. It takes about 2,000, 3,000 years to do that. You know, mm-hmm. speed of light, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Time being relative.
Yeah.
So they bugger off there. So life for them has passed on maybe 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
They come back. For us, it's like 2,000-3,000 years because
they're like, time's relative. What the hell happened to all your clothes?
Yeah. They come back. It's like, right, they all believe. Right, up they go. There's the rapture bit. And off they go and leave the rest of them to whoever.
Yeah.
So maybe Christianity is just.
Space travel. That sounds like a whole load of BS to me.
It does. But there are people that is a rabbit hole there.
Okay.
That I found. Where is a conspiracy? No, it's a conspiracy thing that it's actually, yeah. And of course, the Egyptians are all spacefaring races and things like that. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did buy tombs that pointed to space.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
It's all up there.
Although, of course, you've also got the firmament, which you can't get past, and NASA's a lie, and it's a lie from Satan. Because if you add a T to NASA and then mix the letters around, it says Satan. It's in plain sight, of course. honestly, yeah. I know. So sorry, dear listener, if that's what you believe.
If you take away the C-U-M-P and add S-A-T-A-N, you get Satan. So my cup must be Satan.
Yeah. In fact, my name, if you mix those letters round, add a few and take some away. Also, Satan.
So is mine!
Scary, huh?
Oh, my word.
But it also says Jesus loves me.
Oh. Mine doesn't.
No, if you just need to add a few more and take a couple more.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Mine says squirrel.
Yeah, that I can definitely see.
Look, it's a finch.
No, I'm not looking at. No, I'm doing a podcast.
Look at this, so cute. Sorry, but you have to look at the finch.
Oh.
It's worth it.
Is that a finch?
It's a goldfinch.
There's two of them.
I can't get a picture.
And there we are, dear listener.
It's good podcasting.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was so worth it.
I am going to see if I can take their
little faces
picture.
Are so blooming cute.
There we go. I'm going to take a picture of the finches for the podcast.
So you can all enjoy the moment.
If I can... They've now flown away. Oh,
they're very camera shy.
They are. I'm going to take a picture of the tree. That's where the finches were, dear listener. Yeah, and anyway, maybe they got raptured.
One in.
They got raptured.
Yeah, they got raptured. Well, there was two of them. One went first, and the other one maybe wondered where the other one went.
There we go.
Where's my mate gone?
Yeah.
Damn.
And and I think that kind of concludes what I wanted to say about it. Unless you've got any other thoughts?
No, I haven't.
There we go. Like, subscribe,
and goodbye. Thank you for listening.